looking in the Scriptures and taking a look at the grace of God this morning. With the help of the Lord, I hope I do justice to the message the Lord gave me. If you take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Titus. Titus. In chapter 2, we'll find our text in the book of Titus in chapter 2. I was studying early this morning, and probably like most pastors do, you're always concerned that you're preaching something that's, it's a Bible truth, and sometimes I believe after many years and studying the Scriptures, you just take some things for granted. Take some things for granted. Not much unlike families or churches in general. We take each other for granted sometimes. We take the fellowship of the brethren for granted. If you have ever been in a place where there was no fellowship, you look back and you start thinking, reminiscing of the fellowship you did have. And I thought it would be good for us to cover the grace of God this morning. Not just for the saved, but also to remind the lost that there is grace of God. And you don't have to live in condemnation, but we can live under the grace of God. And if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Titus in chapter 2, in verse 11, we'll get our text here. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And I was reading through this morning. I came across this passage, and I just thought to myself, you know what? Again, the Lord reminded us here in Titus chapter 2, the grace of God has appeared unto all men. Let me tell you something. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the whole world, He gave His only begotten Son." I want to say, first of all, the grace of God. Three things I want to say about the grace of God this morning. Number one, in John 3:16, we know the grace of God brings salvation. It brings salvation. It teaches us. The grace of God teaches us. And then lastly, it gives us hope. The grace of God gives us hope. And I want to cover these three things this morning for everyone who's in attendance, so we would be reminded to be thankful for the grace of God. I mean, we spoke about the military and those who in the armed forces and service who do things for us. We're going to have a Memorial Day tomorrow to remind us to be mindful of those who have given their life in service to the country. But I'm going to tell you something. Today, I want to try to remind us to be mindful of the grace of God and what it's done for us. If you'll take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 2, just a few pages over. We'll look over in Ephesians in chapter 2, and we're going to take a look at the first thing is this right here. The grace of God gives us salvation. Salvation, Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9 we'll read here. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Let me tell you something. The first thing I want to tell you is Jesus Christ came. He is the grace of God. It is by grace of God that He made a way for man to be saved. I'll tell you something. The people of the world lived under the Old Testament for a long time. And they had to bring sacrifice of animals, and they had to live under the law and the ordinances and the things that were made that God had put forth, given to the people of Israel, they had to live under, was very oppressive. That was a heavy burden. That was a heavy thing to have to carry and work through. Every year, take a sacrifice to the temple. Every year, the ordinances had to be fulfilled if the grace was going to be put upon you and your family. Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Let me tell you something. If you're not saved here this morning, I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ is the grace of God. Let me tell you, all you have to do, all it's so simple to say, is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's a little bit more to it than just a phrase. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's a little more. more to it than that. The Bible says it's by the hearing of preaching that he saved them who believe. But first of all, you've got to know what the gospel is. It's not just believing in God, it's believing in what he's done for you. You can know who he is, you can know who Jesus Christ is, and still not be saved. The Bible also tells us that the devils believe and tremble. But let me tell you something, friend. It's Jesus Christ did come. He came to the world over 2,000 years ago, and he lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on the cross at Calvary. His blood was shed according to the scriptures, and according to prophecy that was fulfilled, that he came and he died, he bled, he suffered for our sins, my sins, and your sins. And when he said, "This is finished," and when he took his last breath, he passed from life to death of the first time, but in him is life. And from him, he said, "I lay down my life, no man take it from me. I lay it down because I have the power to take it back up again." Jesus Christ died. On the third day, he arose. And he went to heaven and he took that blood and he put it on a heavenly mercy seat in the temple of God. And he placed that there for an atonement of mine and your sins forever, one time. Not again do we don't have to make sacrifice every year. We don't have the ordinances of man to please God. He says it pleases God that we believe under righteousness. And what we believe is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to say this, you're here this morning, first of all. The grace of God is salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you'll take your Bibles and turn over to Romans in chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3. We'll see again. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Says this right here. Now we know what things whatsoever the law saith. It saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now is the righteousness of God without the law manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. I want to say this right here. What we just read in Romans. God is in charge of the grace. It is the grace of God. It is manifested through the man Christ Jesus. For we are all sinners and we all need this grace of God. But it comes from the Heavenly Father, God. He's in charge of this. It is the grace of God that he would send his only begotten Son to die for our sins. Let me tell you something. If you're not saved, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, you're missing out on the beginning of the grace of God. You cannot fall under any other part of the grace of God if you don't have salvation first. You've got to first be a part of the salvation to have this grace of God. It's only going to come through Jesus Christ. And it's only going to come through your faith in the Word of God and the testimony given in the Word of God that tells us about Jesus Christ. It's by faith of hearing or reading the Scriptures that you're going to get this grace of God. Secondly, I'd like to say this right here. Let's turn to Titus in Titus chapter 2. And let's read that text again. In In Titus in chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." I want to tell you something. Second thing I want to tell you about the grace of God is it teaches us Christians, those who have taken that first step and have stepped under that umbrella of the grace of God, it teaches us some things. And I want to say, though, he tells us very plainly what they are in verse 12. It says, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. I want to say this right here, brethren. In the church and to the Christians, to those who have believed, we still have a problem. We're right here in this flesh. We're in the flesh. We have to live in it every day. Every day we have to partake the things the flesh demands of us. It wants sleep. It wants food. It wants you to do things that please it and it alone. But let me tell you something. If we're going to be taught by the grace of God, we're going to have to deny our flesh some things. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't sleep. Lord knows I need as much as I can get. I'm not saying we should deny ourselves food. But let me do tell you this. When Jesus Christ sent his disciples out to cast out devils and to do miracles and heal people, they came back to him one day and said, "Lord, here's one we can't cast out. Why is it?" He says, "This only comes by the power of fasting and prayer." Let me tell you something, brethren. When you deny your flesh the pleasures of ungodliness, you bring the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life. The grace of God will move into your life, a more fulfilling grace of God. I'm not talking about more salvation. You're only going to get so much, and that's it. You're going to get enough. How about that? You're going to get enough, and that's it. But when it comes to the grace of God in your life, you're going to have to deny yourself worldly pleasure and fleshly pleasure. The Bible says the word lust. The word lust has to do with lasciviousness. Has to do with the things of a sexual nature almost. Let me tell you something, brethren. The world and the TV and the entertainment, everything the world has to offer your flesh right now boils back down to those two things right there. You go to buy a car, they want to throw a half-naked woman by it. If they want you to come look at something, "Hey, I'm in construction. And guess what they want to do to sell me a tool? They want to put a woman in a bikini holding this tool. She ain't got a clue how it works. She's probably holding it upside down. She don't have a clue what it's supposed to do. But what do they want to do? They want to use the lasciviousness of the flesh to draw your attention, to get your desire in toward it, so you can get attracted to what they want to show you. The Bible says, denying, that means saying the word no. It's such a painful word. I don't even like it myself. No. No flesh. No flesh. We're not going to look at this woman walking down the road half naked. No flesh, we're not going to sit and enjoy the music of the world. No flesh, we're not going to listen to dirty jokes and listen to someone profane the Word of God, or maybe even the man of God, or maybe even the Word of God that is the man speaking about. Wouldn't they call those people? Comedians. They call them comedians. They say they're funny. They get paid a lot of money. But one of their biggest things is to attack the church, attack the Word of God, attack the things of God. They profane those things which are holy. Let me say this right here. Verse 12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we, that's us brethren, should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. If we're going to have an effective Christian life, and we're going to have power with God in our prayer, power with God in our witness, we're gonna have to deny the flesh some of its desires. The Bible uses the word, ungodly and worldly lust. Let's look at 1 Peter. I think 1 Peter gives it a little bit deeper. Let's go back to 1 Peter just for a second. 1 Peter in chapter 2. First Peter in chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain means stay away from, get away from, remove yourself from, abstain from fleshly lust." Why? Because they war against the soul. Let me tell you something, brethren. We got enough problems in the world just trying to do right. Why would you want to entangle your soul in a warfare and try to struggle to do right? The best way to do it, brethren, is to run. I heard this example used one time, and I want to use it. Me and my wife were taking a class on financial stuff, and the man said, "You need to run from debt with intensity, gazelle intensity." And I thought, well, that's strange. I never heard anybody say that before. And I started thinking about, if a gazelle is running from the lion, he's running for his life. He ain't running just for a job. He ain't out running for his health. Now, it is for his health, because he ain't going to be alive if he slows down. Or if he zigs when he's supposed to zag, he's a dead man. But let me tell you something. With intensity, stay away from, as a gazelle would run from a lion, stay away from the lust of the flesh. Stay away from these things. There's no way you're going to have a good spiritual or any effect. I'm not even talking about good, because let me tell you something, anything good in you came from the good of God, not because of something in you. But if God is going to use you, and you're going to be the light of the world, and you're going to show the grace of God, and you're going to preach the grace of God, you're going to have to abstain from this fleshly lust. Why do you think it's mentioned so much? Because it's a real battle, and it's every day, it's in your face, everywhere you go. Let me tell you what, tell the flesh no. Tell the flesh no. And stay and run with intensity of a gazelle away from the desires of the flesh, and you'll escape that warfare. You will escape. Bible says no temptation hath come upon you except what's common to man. You ain't special. You aren't being tempted above what anybody else has been, for what's no new thing under the sun. You gotta run from it. Verse 12, having your conversation honest amongst the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. I'm going to tell you something, brethren. A lot of our testimonies are being mocked and made fun of, because our actions don't match up with what our words say. Because we don't abstain from the flesh. We don't abstain from the things that we desire. You know what we do? We tell them, now you need to be like me. You need to be a good Christian. You need to go to church on Sunday. You need to love the Lord. You need to read your Bible and pray. You need to believe like I believe. And then they hear you telling a dirty joke. Or they find out you've been out drinking with some of the boys. Or maybe you stepped out on your marriage with your wife. your testimony, the words, the things you say now have become void. And you have now given excuse to the devil in that spiritual warfare to make null and void everything you said. That light you supposed to be just became a lot of darkness. We need to abstain from the flesh and the desires of it. Denying the flesh, self-gratification, the things that in the world are ungodly. Ungodly means without God or lack of God. And the lust has to do with the desires of the flesh. But now, if we're going to deny, like tonight we're going to be preaching on the putting on. Last Sunday night I preached on the putting off. Putting off some things. This Sunday night, we're going to cover some of the things we're supposed to put on. Let's turn to 2 Peter. Let's look at this real quick. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord." I'm sorry, Jesus our Lord. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let me say something, brethren. If we will abstain from the flesh and we abstain from the worldly lust and the ungodliness, we will be added to us the promises more than one, the promises of God, and we can put on these virtues, we can put on these things, and our life will show forth the grace of God. Our witness will not go without effect. The Holy Spirit will take our words and use them. The difference between a lost man standing up and reading the Bible or a lost man standing up and saying some truth, and the difference of a Christian man who's living in fear of God and righteousness before God saying it, is the power of the Holy Spirit behind that man. Your witness and your life become insignificant when you don't submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and how He would have us live. But when you are living right and within godliness and you witness and you preach and you teach, the Spirit and the power of God can move and do something. First thing was, we had to have grace of God by salvation. And it only comes through salvation. Secondly, we find that grace teaches us. Now thirdly, if you'll go back to Titus just for a minute. If you go to Titus again, we'll finish up our third point here. In Titus, in chapter, verse 13 in chapter 2. The Bible says, "Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you." Verse 13 says, looking for the blessed hope. I want to say this thirdly. That grace is giving me hope. Not only has it saved me and it's teaching me and it's helping me with my life in Jesus Christ, but it gives me hope of what's to come. Take our Bibles, please, turn to Philippians, the book of Philippians. It's got a few passages here. And I hope they would encourage you as they did me this morning. In Philippians in chapter 3, In Philippians in chapter 3, verse 20 says this right here. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working thereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Let me say this, brethren. I'm going to be so glad the day shows up. The Lord changes this vile, wicked body where I don't have to fight the flesh every day. He's going to take away that unclean, wicked man inside of me that desires all the things the flesh has to offer, and I won't have to fight that spiritual battle anymore. He says he's going to change me, and I'm going to be a new man. Hey, I'm a new man in Christ Jesus right now, but that new man has to battle the old man every day. But there's going to be a day, brethren, when we don't have to fight that battle anymore. The old man's going to be gone. Amen. He says, looking for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, let me tell you something. All you that may be lost, this is a warning for you. Jesus is coming. Hey, Jesus is coming. It says here he's coming. Now I'm happy he's coming. I'm looking forward to it. But if you ain't saved, there's nothing for you to look forward to. There's nothing exciting going to happen for you. Judgment's coming. The Bible says when Jesus comes, it won't be long after that death and hell will be coming. And there's not going to be a whole lot, if you read the book of Revelations, there's not a whole lot of good things said that are going to happen to those, the unbelievers. Let me tell you what, Jesus hasn't come yet. There's still time for you to fall into this grace of God in salvation. But for those of us who are saved, we have to look forward to, we just read, hey, our conversation. Why? What's our conversation about? Our witness, our testimony, the things we talk about, our desire, because our treasure is in heaven. We're looking forward to it, and we're talking about Jesus Christ is coming. And you know what? That gives me hope. That gives me hope. You know what? It's worth it. You know what? I can hold on a little longer. I can fight the devil one more day. I can be a witness one more day. I can continue on my battle. The Lord's coming. And I don't know what day it is. I don't know what day it is. It might be today. Ha! Whew! Man, that'd be great. Real good. Might not be tomorrow. Might be tomorrow. But you know what? We ought to be faithful. So no matter what day it is, He finds us in good service, continuing the battle. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. I just told you, I don't know what day the Lord's coming. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise, look for a new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Hey, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Let me tell you something, brother. I had a word of encouragement. Let me say this. Lord's coming. Hey, you tell you what, just like you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, just like you have faith that his blood shed for you to save you, Jesus is coming. Let me tell you what, the same faith that you have for saving you are the same faith you have. He's coming one day. Let us be found faithful. Let us be found in the peace of God when he comes, that we're continuing in the work that he's given us to do. Let us not be found shipwrecked or out of the will of God, because we gave in to the temptations and we didn't learn what he tried to teach us and ungodliness and worldly lust. He tried to teach us how to stay out of that. But if we fall shipwrecked, we won't be found in good peace when he comes. And it won't stop him from coming. It ain't going to stop him from coming. He's still going to come. Turn over just to 1 Timothy. I'm closing. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 1 says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. That and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers and of the benefit. These things teach and exhort." Verse 3. "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to his godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself." Verse 6. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." I want to say this right here. Brethren, listen, the Lord's coming. I've been saved. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I believe the blood shed was for me, and it made atonement for my sin. I'm trying to bring my body under subjection as best as I know how by the Spirit of God and the grace of God in my life to do His work. But brethren, I also have hope that He's coming again. But in my hoping His coming, I'm going to live in a certain way that shows that I have contentment with what God's given me. Whether it be small, whether it be great. Whatever your lot in life is, whatever the Lord's called you to or allowed you to have, your contentment says, I'm happy with where God got me. I'm happy with where the Lord's allowed me to be. I'm happy and I'm thankful for what the Lord's allowing to be in my life. Verse 11 and 12. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." Someone's got a list here. "And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickened all things. And before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession." Verse 14. "That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." I want to say this, brethren. He's given us a commandment here that we're supposed to live this way. And these things, he told us. He says, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and patience, and meekness, and fight the good fight of faith until Jesus Christ comes. Hey, brother, let's be found faithful. Let us be found in the grace of God that He brought to us, gave us, taught us. Let us be found in it when He comes. I want to ask Sister Carrie to come and give us a hymn of invitation. And I want to ask you to stand to your feet, and I'm going to ask you to question your own heart and question your own mind. I don't know your place. I don't know where you are with the Lord, and I don't know where your heart is. I know what Jesus Christ has done. I want to ask you, how about you? Are you ready for the Lord to come? Are you ready? Have you experienced the grace of God in your life? Have you been saved? And are you trying to submit your body, as Romans calls it, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable? I don't know where you are. Only you do. And I want to encourage you this morning. If there's some business that you need to do with the Lord,